KCSB FM Santa Barbara 91.9. KCSB News presents Inside Isla Vista, a weekly show covering an array of issues of interest to the Isla Vista community. The goal of the show is to educate, inform, and raise awareness about what's happening in Isla Vista. It does not endorse or support any political candidates or causes. There's a different host each week. Let's meet tonight's hosts on Inside Isla Vista.
Hi, this is Lieutenant Mark Signa with the UC Santa Barbara Police Department, stepping in for anybody and everybody in the world here today. Just being a host for Inside Isla Vista, excited to be here, excited to have the opportunity to talk to the public, talk to some great people here. And this is a chance for us to basically talk about a couple topics today. We're going to, first of all, I want to say a few words about May 23rd and the history of that a little bit. And then we'll be going on and talking with my guests here. We'll be talking about sexual assaults and some of the statistics that are going out there and some of the changes that we've seen over the years and directions that we'd like to see it go and some of the things that people have been involved with, and hopefully provide some information for the public that can be helpful in understanding the problems around it and also what we can do as people to help make it a better situation for not only ourselves, but for friends, family, people we know, and just all the people out there who are struggling with this terrible issue. But first of all, before I go into that, I did want to talk a little bit about May 23rd, 2014. Pretty much everybody out there that's in Isla Vista kind of remembers a little bit about that. That was 3 years ago, and we had a terrible tragedy. We had a horrible incident involving, well, we don't want to say his name, but basically an idiot, a moron, a jerk, a terrorist, whatever you want to call him. It's somebody that came in and affected us all deeply in so many different ways, and he drove through Isla Vista. He killed people. He injured people. He killed three people in his apartment. It was total of 6 people were killed, 14 were injured. It was a horrible, horrible time for Isla Vista and for the community of Isla Vista and UCSB to realize that we went through something so tragic that we thought, no, it wouldn't happen here. This wouldn't be something that we would face in our community. This is something that other places happen. It happens on the news, on CNN. You see it on Fox News. You see it on MSNBC. It doesn't happen here. But then we found out, yes, it does. And it is horrible when it happens, and the effect it has on us is terrible. And even though the impact on Isla Vista was so horrible, so tragic, so just awful to what took place, a lot of it resulted in some good things happening. A lot of good things came out of that as well. And so we need to remember what happened. We can't forget about it. We have to go back and keep in mind the things that had happened and what came out from that. What did we do wrong to begin with? What do we do right afterwards? What can we continue to do right? Yesterday, a lot of people got together in various different ways. They did different ceremonies. They did memorials. They did the go out in the ocean with the surfboards, and everybody kind of thought about how they could honor the victims in their own special ways. And that's critical. I think that's really an important thing for us to do, to remember those who had fallen, remember the people that were out there that sacrificed themselves and basically are still recovering to this day. You know, I remember when it happened, I was at home and I'm with my family. And I remember getting a phone call from my sergeant who was in the middle of responding code 3 to the reports of shots fired. He's telling me what's going on. I can hear the sirens. I can hear all the traffic in the background. And just running out to my car, jumping in the car and driving to Isla Vista as fast as I can. And the one thing I remember is my little boy just being upset by the fact that, why is daddy not wearing his bulletproof vest? Why is he going out to do that and not having his vest on? The effect on myself, on my children even, who weren't there part of it, is huge. And that's only a small part of it. For the people that actually were there when it happened, it's even more so. And it's something that, again, like I said, we can't forget about this. We have to remember these things and honor the people that fell. And by stepping forward and realizing that we have a community that we need to take care of, we need to be a part of, and we need to really keep working to improve. Like I mentioned, that some great things had happened. The Community Service District has come together and is taking great leaps forward in how to deal with some of the issues in Isla Vista, how to help the community get better, get more representation for the population out here, for the students, the people that live out here long-term, short-term, the visitors, creating a better community. And even in the small steps that have been taken that they've done so far, you're seeing big changes. You're seeing great things happen. You're looking at a lot of people coming together, making that happen. And that's, we can't forget that. So the memorials are important. The memorials are a big part of helping us remember. But more importantly, we need to every day think of Isla Vista as a community that comes together under the toughest of circumstances, that comes together as friends, as family, as cohorts in any manner of fun or frolic or whatever. Yes, we have our issues. Yes, we're going to have some crime out here. Yes, we're going to have problems. But as a community, when we come together, when it's really needed, it's an amazing thing to see happen. And we want to keep doing that from year on and year on. We can't stand by anymore. We have to be people that will stand up and recognize the issues and step forward. If you see a problem, report it. If not to the police, report it to people that can step in and help. Report it to the fire department. Report it to county mental health. Report it to CARE, Santa Barbara Rape Crisis. Report problems when you see them. Because it's not just the fact that you're being a tattletale or you're a snitch or anything like that. No, you're actually helping people that sometimes can't help themselves. And that's what community does. We help each other. We step up and we take care of each other. So next time you see something that's not right, do something about it. Don't be that person with the cell phone that's saying, hey, I'm going to be on YouTube. I'm going to be the next video that's going viral. Don't be that person. Be the person that actually uses the cell phone for what it's meant for, calling for help. Don't be that person that's videotaping something, shouting at the same time, someone called 911. How ridiculous is that? Be the person that calls 911. I'm guilty of it too. I've done it where I've passed by and thought, well, somebody's already calling. It's the wrong mentality. I'd rather get 100 phone calls saying, hey, somebody out here needs help, than hope that somebody else is doing it. Because there are times where people have needed help out there and passerbys have walked past thinking somebody else will call, somebody else will call. Well, guess what? Everybody else is thinking somebody else is going to call. And until somebody steps up and does it, nobody calls. That person doesn't get the help they need. So be that person that stands up, takes care of the community, steps up, helps out, keep this community what it's supposed to be, keep it a great, positive example of what it means to come together as a family, as a community, and step forward, be the people that take the lead, take the charge, especially the youth out there, the college students, the ones that are just in the prime of life right now. You have the opportunity to go out, have fun, experience the college life, love it, do great things. I remember doing some stuff that maybe I shouldn't talk about, but we've all done it. We've all gone and had a good time. But at the same time, think about your neighbors, think about the people around you and watch out for them, take care of them, and hopefully they'll take care of you when you need it. So that's just my little bit of a talk right now, but just go out there, take care of each other. And again, if somebody needs help, get them the help they need. Go to websites, call 911. The University Police Department has a website. The Sheriff's Department has websites. Santa Barbara County Mental Health Behavioral Wellness, they have a website. If you know somebody that has mental health issues, don't wait. Call. Call 1-888-868-1649. That is a phone number that's just 24 hours a day where you can call and say, hey, I know something or somebody has a problem or I need help. If you need help, call. Get the help you need. Don't let things grow and go beyond what they need to be. Be the hero. Step up and do what's right. So kind of with that, what I'd like to do is kind of move on to, it's not much of a happier topic, unfortunately, but it's one of the important topics we talk about in Isla Vista is that we have a lot of problems in Isla Vista. And one of the leading problems out here is sexual assault. And it happens way more than you can even imagine. It's a terrible thing. And as a law enforcement officer, I see it. I see the stats. I see the information coming through our station and all that stuff. But the truth is, we only get a small part of it. The people here today are going to be talking about it. They're going to be talking about the fact that they see so much of it. They're the heroes on the front line, quite honestly. I've dedicated, you know, my career to this job of law enforcement, doing what I think is right and helping people and hopefully doing the right thing. The truth is, these are people that dedicated their lives to it, that have dedicated 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 a year out there. They care so much about the community. So it's really great to have them here. First of all, we have Brianna Conway. She is with the CARE program here at UCSB, and she has been an important part of this program for a long time. And just, I'm really, really glad you could be here. And I'm sorry, it's Adalia. I'm sorry, I was going to mess that name up. And she's here from Santa Barbara Rape Crisis. She has been just a part of the program for several years and is stepping up here to talk about what they do and the cooperation efforts between not only the university, Santa Barbara City College, UCSB, Isla Vista, CARE, and SBRCC. So I just really want, first of all, you guys introduce yourselves and kind of tell us a little bit about yourselves and what you do.
So my name again is Adalia Gomez, and I'm the program director at Santa Barbara Rape Crisis Center. I first started working at the center in 2010, and I was providing direct services, so working on the 24-hour hotline, providing accompaniments, advocacy, counseling services. Now I work more on the administration side and continue to supervise the long-term counseling program as well as the crisis intervention program.
And I'm Brianna Conway, and I'm the director of the CARE office. And CARE stands for Campus Advocacy Resources and Education. And we provide direct services to survivors of sexual violence, domestic violence, dating violence, and stalking, as well as some sexual harassment and gender-based violence crimes here on campus. Our advocacy services are both short-term and long-term, some crisis intervention, immediate needs, support, and accompaniment for a variety of processes. And then we also really work to promote long-term healing of our students, staff, and faculty. You know, I hear Mark talking about, you know, the tragedy yesterday and the remembrance events and thinking on how that ties into the work that we do every day and how our communities are hurting in a variety of different ways, and sexual violence, you know, being a large contributing factor to that. And then how do we look to work on prevention? So another area that CARE works on is really stopping violence before it starts, or changing our Isla Vista and our UCSB community that, you know, sexual violence is not tolerated here, and that we're all going to do our part to work together, to come together, to work to prevent that. And then, you know, of the many hats that we wear around the university's obligation to respond to survivors, to ensure that we have well-trained personnel that are responding to the needs of our community and doing so with the highest standard of care that UCSB can provide.
That's amazing work, and to realize how much time and effort goes into what you both do, it's, you know, you hear about, well, we have counselors, we have this available, we have service available, but it's not like there's like 100 people available to go do this and standing by to jump in there. There's a small group of people that have dedicated their lives, their mental well-being. They're so focused and so dedicated to this. It's a very rough job to be a part of, but it's amazing to see what a small group has done and been there for the community. So first of all, thank you. It's an uphill battle all the way, and there's always going to be more work and more work, but to see the folks with the programs there every day is amazing, and the dedication is absolutely astounding. Now, one question I have for you, it's right off the bat, and it's something that it's kind of changed a little bit over the years, is what's the proper terminology? Is it survivor or victim, or does it matter?
At Santa Barbara Rape Crisis Center and at CARE, we utilize the term survivor. And the reason why we use the term survivor is because it's empowering. It talks about the healing process that these individuals are going through and overcoming what they went through. When we use the term victim, we refer to individuals who did not survive a sexual assault. So that's the big difference. We use survivor to empower individuals.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think, you know, different people in their different time of their healing process might identify with the different terminology, but really looking at how, you know, this experience is not going to define the rest of your life. And I've seen student after student, survivor after survivor, grow and heal from this. And so really looking towards what is the end goal, and that it's not going to be as a victim of something that has power over you, and really where the healing process is going to take you in that journey. So we're always looking towards and grounding our clients in that this is a moment in time, and it's traumatic and it's painful, but with the support of your community and your advocate and your other resources and things available, that this will not be the defining moment of your life.
And that's an amazing point, because it is something that people struggle with, and you have that myth of, oh, just get over it, just move on, and it's not something that you just move on. It's something that it is with you, and people deal with it differently. And it's a struggle, I think, to see that just sometimes society just doesn't seem to understand that. They kind of think, okay, it's just instant, move on, get just whatever you need, move on to your next step or whatever. There's so much more to it. And so programs like yours are so critical to helping people deal with the trauma, deal with the effects of what's gone on in their lives and families as well. I'm assuming that you also talked a lot about families as well.
We do. At Santa Barbara Rape Crisis Center, we provide services to survivors and to their significant others. We also serve the general community. When events happen in our community that impact them, not personally to them or to a significant other, they might still have some trauma, so we also serve the general community members.
Yeah, and at CARE, the only thing I think I would add is that what we see about the survivors that we serve is that more often than not, we're not the first person that they're disclosing to. Most frequently, it's someone that they know and trust, and it's that person and the power of that person believing them and supporting them and knowing about the resources that helps bridge that connection into seeking services. We know that the research shows that the first person that someone discloses to, that their response is so powerful as to what will happen next and how that person, you know, if it's an awful experience, they might close up and never want to open up and share about and disclose about that again. And if it's a supportive and warm response with getting the looping in the professionals that are best equipped to respond, we know that that's going to just start the healing trajectory so much faster. So a lot of our work at CARE, oftentimes it can be with parents, but it's roommates, it's student org club members, and it's students looking to help students. And that is one of the beautiful, powerful things of the work that we do. You know, it's my friend shared that this happened to me and I don't know how to help them. And so we'll do coaching on what to say and really let the survivor be in charge of the next steps and work to empower them and not do the telling them the you should. So a lot of our work is really around supporting community on how best to help someone else. And that just, you know, is a beautiful thing of the work. You know, advocates in our offices, both at Rape Crisis Center and at CARE, we can't be the only ones. You know, this is a community issue. This is impacting too many people that small teams or even with law enforcement, you know, this is an everybody issue. And so any way in which we can always help to support that and expand that reach is helpful.
And I've seen some amazing people come out of these programs that are students that have stepped up and really, whether they've been survivors from the past or they're just very passionate about it, they've done incredible jobs as far as being advocates for the other students and the other community members. And it's really amazing to see people that are young, very, very new to a lot of the experiences of living on your own and being out on your own, but yet taking such an important role and really seeing them grow with that. It's amazing. At we had a breakfast a couple weeks ago, and there was one of the gentlemen with Santa Barbara Rape Crisis that was across, and I was talking to him, and he was reminded, well, I used to be a CSO. I worked at, and it's like, my little boy's grown up.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see just how passionate he was mm-hmm. about helping people mm-hmm. and really doing something positive. So it's mm-hmm. it's really neat to see we have such a great community of people that are willing to do that and step up. You know, we can always use more, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of good people out there and glad to see that students are taking an active role with that.
Yeah, absolutely. At Santa Barbara Rape Crisis Center, we have a lot of volunteers who help on our 24-hour hotline, and majority of them are students, whether they're UCSB students, City College students, Antioch, Westmont. They're all willing to help, and they go through a very lengthy process to train and mm-hmm. to learn what they need to do, and they're very focused on covering their shifts on the hotline and providing that help. So we're very lucky to have that support and education-wise as well. We know that learning from peers is very critical to the work that we do. And when we have hosted events out in the community, we have students who come out and help facilitate that education.
So if there's people out there, whether it be students, adults, anybody that wants to come help, how can they reach out? What would you recommend they do to step up and help?
We have different volunteer opportunities at Santa Barbara Rape Crisis Center, whether they're interested in doing direct work with survivors of sexual assault and their significant others, if they're interested in education, or if they're interested in fundraising or administration. We have a lot of different opportunities. So the way to start is to call our office, and we can talk about those volunteer opportunities and see what route will be best for them.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I think we work to really have a very robust website. So I think the World Wide Web is always a great opportunity. You know, if Googling UCSB Care, you're going to find us right on the second, working to get it to the first, but the second list after Google, I'll give them a plug. But we have How to Get Involved. You know, we run a Care Connect training that's pretty popular, and the whole focus of Care Connect is what I was talking about before of how do I connect someone to the resources if they share with me that they've been impacted by violence. So I think those are amazing opportunities. We're always trying to post those things, all the information that we can. We try and make really accessible to our populations and know that most people are walking around with a smartphone in their pocket and can find that through accessing our website.
So. I think a lot of people are walking around with it up their ear or typing on it, but yeah, some pockets too. So one of the things that was talked about when we said we're going to get together today was talking about statistics. And it was really interesting as far as, you know, we talked about the Sheriff's Department came out with some stats recently where it shows an increase. And they specifically mentioned Isla Vista as one of the reasons for the increase in the number of rapes. They came out saying that basically there were, in 2015, they had 13 rapes reported. And in 2016, they had 23, which is about 44% increase. UCSB, I went back and looked at our stats. And in 2015, we had 17, and 2016, we had 22, so about a 30% increase there. So we're seeing from law enforcement side an increase in statistics as far as the people reporting sexual assaults. But the interesting twist to that was when I asked, you mentioned that the stats were a little different for you as far as what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the difference is, one, when we look at sexual assault, we look at it under an umbrella term, where sexual assault is any unconsensual sexual contact, whether it's physical, visual, verbal. So we serve the large, wide community when it comes to any type of sexual assault. So the statistics that we keep tend to be for any survivors of any type of sexual assault, not just rape. But what we have seen at Santa Barbara Rape Crisis Center have been very consistent numbers. Looking at the numbers from last year to this year, there really isn't a difference, primarily because we work with individuals in providing options and information and support. So we serve individuals who are interested in reporting. We also serve individuals who decide not to report. So that really depends on the individual, and regardless, we provide information and support. So for us, the numbers have remained consistent, and they have been consistent also at the national level when it comes to support services. So that's been a little bit different for us than for the law enforcement agencies.
And I would say that, you know, I did pull some numbers, and care numbers are up from last year to where we are from the beginning of the academic year to May. And so we've seen an increase of about 50 survivors than we did previously last year. And you know, that can be for a whole host of reasons. The more we are able to expand our staff and our awareness capacities. We just had Sexual Assault Awareness Month in April, and I know that both Santa Barbara Rape Crisis Center and the care office were working really diligently to get the community, the word out into the community. And so it is a phenomenon of the more we're able to expand out, the more we're improving information about the resources that exist, the more survivors are going to feel that that might be a safe option for them. And then if it comes with a recommendation of a trusted loved one, you know, that's going to just help increase. And, you know, what we know to be true is that the more that survivors feel safe and supported and have information about their rights and options and are able to be in control of their process and their healing process, the more they will feel supported and empowered to come forward. So whether 50 is a large number or not, it is for my advocacy staff that are working diligently every day. You know, the increase in reporting to police you know, has to do with, I would imagine, has to do with the community feeling more supported and empowered by resources, that becomes a more available option to them.
And the unfortunate thing, and I'm not really sure how I should look at this as far as whether it's unfortunate or not, but when we see that, you know, between the Sheriff's Department and ourselves, we have 30 or 40 reports to us, and yet I hear there's 500 being investigated or being handled or being worked with the various programs, there's a huge gap there. And the question is it something that law enforcement's doing that we need to do better? Is it something that we can change as far as how we're handling things? I think we've taken some steps, and one of the things we've done over the last couple of years is we had a program where we now have a detective working with the CARE program, mm-hmm. and is actually assigned to communicate and work directly with them on a regular basis. Things like that are, I think, are small steps forward in trying to improve law enforcement's reaction to sexual assaults in the investigations. And I think we've come a long way from what it used to be, as far as we used to be just kind of the big thugs showing up, take paper, move on, go on here, okay, there's an advocate, have a nice day, we're out of here, to recognizing law enforcement's role is so much more important to, like you mentioned earlier, the first contact a survivor may have may be a police officer. And if we come off the wrong way, that's going to shut things down and make it just so much more difficult for them, because we're supposed to be a trusted person. And we don't act proper, who else is going to act proper? So it's those messages I think we've gotten better about. We still have a long ways to go. I think we're still working on that. We're still trying to come up with ways we can reach out and do better communication with people, with survivors, with community groups, and so forth. But I think our numbers going up for ourselves is an indication that maybe we're taking small steps and they are having some positive effect. So I'd like to take at least that positive spin on it.
Yeah. And it's really a community effort. When it comes to the larger community, we can all be more empathetic when we hear things on the news and really looking into the facts and not believing those myths. And like Brianna has mentioned, really being supportive instead of victim blaming, being supportive towards the decisions that these survivors are making, whether it's reporting, not reporting, disclosing or not, seeking counseling or not, really encouraging their options and their own decisions, because they're the ones being impacted. And then on the other side, the role that we have as a community is to say that sexual assault is not acceptable in our community. We don't want it to happen, and we can take roles as bystanders to either intervene, to seek someone else to come and help, whether it's law enforcement, and intervene in those situations or distract from those situations from happening. So as a community, we have huge roles in being empathetic and being supportive and being bystanders and saying that it's not okay for people to sexual assault in our community.
And I think that's absolutely beautiful. That's the right aspect that I think society is slowly working towards. We're getting a little better. Things I've noticed with the media, that where rape used to be like a common thing, you watch a 70s movie and a woman gets raped. And it seems like almost like a standard thing with a lot of these movies. Whereas now it's, no, that's not right. We're not going to glorify it. We're not going to put it in the media. It's going to be, no, it's a bad thing. And really focusing and educating people that it's not something we can just kind of gloss over. It's something that we have to continue working on, improving the mindsets of the people, of everybody, of how we deal with it. One aspect I've seen over the last couple of years that I've noticed in the 20 years I've been here is that I've seen more males come forward, more comfortable with coming forward. And that's something to me is just, it's great. It's the fact that we're able to show that we can be empathetic, and it's not that stigma around it. You know, there's already a stigma around the fact that if a female's reporting rape, it's a horrible thing, and they're worried about how they're going to be looked at. For a male to do it now, it's also very hard, and very few males report the fact they've been sexually assaulted, but they are coming forward, so it is a good thing. Well, I hate to cut you off because there's so much more to talk about, but it has been very good to have you here. And like usual, we seem to have so much more to talk about. We run out of time. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. Thank you very much. Just a couple points real here. If you, obviously, the ladies here are just incredible. They did a great job. If you hate the job I did, you can come meet me tomorrow. I'll be at the Student Resource Building. I will be doing a dunk tank and a charity for the Phi Delta Theta ALS dunking booth. So you can dunk me and put me down. So in the meantime, this is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Mark Signa. Thank you for listening. Our theme music is by Jazzer. Tune in next week for Inside Isla Vista in the Spanish language. You can catch up on past shows at soundcloud.com. Just search for KCSB FM. Thanks and have a great night.